with this morning as we go to the Lord in worship. Because he has done great things in our lives, and we want to celebrate and thank him for that.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow. What a Savior has done, and see how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, he conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great.
Amen, amen, amen. How many of you, the Lord's done great things in your life? Amen, amen. He is worthy of our praise. And we just want to lift up our praise, not just through praise and worship this morning, but through prayer and dedication for this service. Whether you're here in the sanctuary this morning or with us online, would you just join with me in prayer as we ask the Lord to place his hand upon everything that happens here today, Lord? We ask right now that you would reach down from heaven, Lord. You would place your hand upon everything that happens in this place today. Lord, we pray that as we lift up our voices in singing, Lord, as we open your word and proclaim the gospel, Lord, as we give of the tithe and the offering, Lord, as we pray and we consecrate our lives unto you, Lord, we pray that all of it would be done according to your will and your way. Lord, we pray that it would bring honor and glory to you. We welcome your presence into this place. We ask that you would be amongst your people today. And we thank you, Lord, that you have done great things in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just the next few moments. want to say we're so happy that you're here. And how many of you are happy to have electricity? Amen. Anybody happy to have water? Come on. Anybody still need snow shoveled? It's starting to melt, so you all broke free. Anybody have any fun in the snow? If I'm going to drive in this, I'm just going to go real fast and see so I don't stop, right? How many did that? Yeah. Elliot and I, we were out in the snow and we were having fun. And because, as you know, I don't like to stay in. And so they said, you should stay in. So that meant don't stay in. And so we were getting out. We thought we would go to the grocery store and all that. And we were coming back and the road was good. How many of you guys noticed this? The roads were good, but then you get on your side road or your driveway and it was like, all bets were off, right? And so I said to Elliot, I said, okay, in a minute, we're going to hit into our residential area, and I'm going to kind of really gun it up in there. In my mind, I thought to myself, well, Pastor, I'm going to gun it up in there a little bit and just kind of slide a little to be cool. 360 later, as I spun my car all the way around, right, I went, that was pretty cool. Well, inside, I was going, we almost died. But outside, I was like, that was cool, wasn't it, Elliot? He's like, that was so cool, Dad. I was like, yeah, totally meant to do that. So anyway, pretty certain I probably worried a few of my neighbors. They weren't even in the car. They should have been in the car. But we're so glad you're here this morning, and so glad you made it out. So glad you have water and electricity and all of that. How many of you know the Lord is faithful? He takes care of us, doesn't he? Come on. And if you're a visitor this morning, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. And if you would take that card and fill it out, we would just really, really appreciate it. You'll just take that after you fill it out. You'll place the card in the offering bag that's going to pass in a few moments. And it gives us a record of your attendance. Lets us know you came and you hung out with us. And that will be tremendous. If you're online, And this is your first time visiting with us, if you'll just put on the comments there, just say, hey, this is my first time. That way we know you're visiting with us online. That would help us also, and we would really, really appreciate it. Was anybody missing anything? Anybody notice anything that we don't have today? The bulletin, which means you'll have to pay attention today to the announcements. How many of you read your bulletin and really don't pay attention to what I'm saying? Come on, confess. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. The Lord already told me who you are, all right? So just want to remind you that tonight, Pastor Chad's going to be sharing with us a message from his heart. And so 6 o'clock, we'd love for you to come back and be a part of that. And then next Sunday night, we will again relaunch out into Connect Groups. So we have left the Connect Group table out, and you can see all the groups that are there and what's happening and all of that. And so we want you to sign up. We want you to be a part of a Connect Group. But obviously, we missed them last week, so we'll launch out this next Sunday, all right? And then in two Sunday nights from this week, we are going to have our annual family meeting. That's where we do all of our family business and look at the budget and the finances. And so if you're a member, you're going to especially want to be here. If you're not a member, you can you can't vote, but you can come and sit in and check out all that's happening. And we'd love for you as a member to be here if you have a vote, because we'll be electing a new board member. They're on 3-year terms. And on that night, we also have something fun for everybody, and that is the soup and chili cook-off. Soup and chili cook-off. And I've already spent some deep time in fasting and praying for the judges this year, who robbed me of the hottest crown last year. And so it took me through October to get over the bitterness, but I've bounced back. And so next week you should see, they're not up there right now, right, the signups, but next week you'll see a sign up where you can sign up if you want to bring a chili or bring a soup, or if you want to bring some things that go along with that, like crackers and cheese and all of that. And so we'll have that, but we want you to know that the annual family meeting is 2 weeks from today, okay? And we'll also be doing that night, the chili and soup cook-off. So it's going to be a great night. We want you to join us. We're going to have a lot of fun. Last thing I want to tell you is that 3 weeks from today, our youth group leaves for Mission Arlington in Arlington, Texas, on our spring break missions trip. Several of you have already been kind enough to support some of our youth and some work projects and things, and we thank you for that. And also want to say that today, though, is the deadline for Mission Arlington. So if you're going to go, it's been pushed back, but this is it. I need your registration, your deposit today as we start to order things and get everything in order 3 weeks from today. Would you begin? Would you just agree with me and begin to pray for our trip that's going to happen in 3 weeks, that lives would be changed, the people we minister to? We're not just doing trips to do trips. We're doing them that the Lord would do something inside of us, and that the Lord would do something in the lives of others that we encounter and we minister to. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering. As they come, can we give a special thank you to... Yeah, let's give a hand clap for that. Amen. Amen. I'd also like to give a special thank you to my friend Randy Brown and his guys who came and helped make sure that our parking lot got exactly how it need to be, so there's no ice, no one slipping and all of that. He really got it cleaned up in the way that it needed to be. And so, Randy, thank you so much for doing that. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray with the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you once again. You have blessed us over and over and over again. And in those moments when we think, Lord, what more could you give? You still surprise us. Lord, I thank you that the truth still stands, that we can never outgive you. So as we give of our time, as we give of our resources, as we give of our lives, Lord, we see you continue to answer back and you pour out yourself into us. And so, Lord, we pray that you bless all the finances that are given. Lord, we pray that people would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once the offering bag passes, would you please stand as we go back into worship?
A weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. The God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the take You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
It says you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. And I think that, you know, Satan has plans for this nation. And I believe that God has plans for this nation. And that he is going to take it and he is going to turn it around. And that he is going, we are going to see a victory. There's going to be a victory that's going to happen. And I'm proclaiming it right now. I'm praising him now for the victory. I'm not going to wait until it happens. I'm proclaiming it now. So let's just praise him for a moment and just say, thank you, Jesus, for the victory that you are sending for this nation. Lord, we believe that you have great plans, that you have great plans for this church. And Father, I just stand here in faith believing it, for you have given us, we've showed us the evidence in the past, the things that you have done. And we stand here expecting great things in you. And we just give you glory. We give you honor and praise, for we know that there is nothing that you cannot do, because all things are possible for God. And we give you glory and praise, Father. I just thank you, for you are amazing, you are awesome, and you are so beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life, I see your promises in fulfillment. All over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak, that fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment. All over my life, all over my life. I see the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sins rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. I see the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sins rolled away of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your
see your promises and fulfillment all over my life. All over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. I see your promises. And whom should I fear? The evidence is here. Why should I fear? Oh, the evidence is here.
Oh, Jesus, we just praise you this morning. Know it's the desire of a lot of people's heart in this church to get a new move of you. And we just want more of you. And we just keep seeking and asking. And you said if we'll just keep knocking, if we'll just keep asking, that you're going to answer that prayer. And so, Father, we just come here expecting great things from you. We just praise you, and we're waiting and ready for a move of your spirit, Lord. And we just glorify your name. And we thank you. We thank you in advance. Thank you for the move. Thank you for your presence, Jesus.
And mountains are still being moved. And strongholds are still being loosed. Oh God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised. And giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you right now. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need. Are still being raised, and giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here. Miracles happen when you move.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we need a move of your spirit in this place and in our country, in our families, in our individual lives. We thank you, Father God. We call upon you right now, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you would be with Melissa Clark's stepdad today. I pray that you would just touch him. I pray that their friend Bill would be touched and healed of COVID. We pray for Mark Fitzgerald that you continue to touch him. We pray for Donna today who needs healing in her body. We pray for Nelda's brother-in-law who fell, and we just pray that you would just touch him. We pray for Ansel who is sick today and possibly has pneumonia. We just pray for him. And Lord, I know there's many, many other needs that we all know about, people, friends, family members who are sick or who need healing of the virus. And we just pray, Lord, for them today. We pray for a healing in our land, Lord, not just of the virus, but of the sin virus. We pray, Father God, for a move as we've been singing about across our nation and across our community, Father God, for a move of your spirit that would just take people out of their life of sin and put them into a life of salvation. Father God, we know that's the only hope we have is in you. Our hope is in you, and it is sure and it is steadfast. It is a solid, solid foundation. We thank you, Lord, that we can stand without slipping upon the rock of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord, today. We thank you for this wonderful church family. We thank you, Lord, for each one. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. So good to see you all this morning. May the Lord bless you and for being here today. And we just appreciate each one of you. I've been out of pocket for a few days here, and so Pastor Phil has been left to handle the ice and snow from the parking lot and all that's been going on because we've been out of pocket for a few days. But it's good to be back, and we just appreciate his leadership and his help in getting things set up for us to be here today, because the parking lot was a mess just a few days ago. And so we're thankful for Pastor Phil and for his leadership here in our church. And he's going to be bringing the message today. So give it up for Pastor Phil as he brings the message from God's word today. What? No, no illustration, no basket or nothing like that?
Sorry.
Oh, man. No, I'm kidding.
No basket today, just a bottle of water, and you probably know what that's for. It's good to be. Man, I missed church last week. How many of you got up on Sunday and you're like, this is weird? This is just weird. And I thought to myself, maybe I should just go like live stream. But none of y'all wanted to see what I looked like last Sunday. It was, how many of you had been a couple of days since you've been out of the house? Yes. I needed the Lord to touch me. I need to shave is what I need to do. That's what I need to do, Shane. I need to shave. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, really quick before I speak, I want to share with you a couple of thoughts and answer a few questions. Some of you probably saw my post on Facebook that I am going to run for mayor here in Noble. And if you haven't, surprise. And I just want to share a couple of thoughts about that, and that is this. Some of you have asked me, what spare time are you going to do that in? And I don't know the answer to that question. The Lord and I are working that out as we speak. Another question that some people have asked is, well, does that mean you're not going to be pastor at the church? And I said, no. My job is as the associate pastor at Noble Assembly of God. This is just, for me, another way for us to serve our community. And the best illustration I could give for you, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, is this. We spend our lives as believers knowing that we have the thing that everybody needs, Jesus, right? And we spend our lives hoping that those around us will at some moment, through our love, through our relationships, through whatever, will ask us for help. You know, that we'll be able to present what we have and hopefully help in whatever way we can. And so for me, our community, some people in our community, not part of our church, ask me for help. They asked that I would run for mayor. And I'm going to be honest with you, I said no at first. And then, not to them, just in my mind. To them, I gave them the pat answer. Well, let me think about that, right? How many of you ever thought about something you weren't thinking about, right? And so I just began to pray about it. And I really felt like the Lord said to me, well, you asked how you could impact your, you're always asking for opportunities to reach the people of your community. Well, here you go, buddy. So without being political, but just explaining where I'm at as your associate pastor, elections on April 6th, and we're just going to, what I want to ask you for is not a vote. What I want to ask you for is the will of God. Amen? That's what we need. We need the will of God. And so just want to answer a few questions that have been asked to me several times. I love you. Thank you so much for all your kind words. Many of you have been very encouraging, and I appreciate that. All right, today we're gonna have a message, and I have entitled it "All Mixed Up." How many of you have ever been mixed up? Whoo, come on. Our whole community was all mixed up in our world with this snow and this ice, and one minute we got water, and next minute we don't have water, and then we have electricity, and we don't have electricity. But today I have titled my message "All Mixed Up." How many of you like cooking? Okay, because we're gonna talk a lot about recipes and cooking today. Have you ever started cooking and you realized in the middle of it that you were missing an ingredient? Is that not the worst? You know what I mean? You're into it. It's not like you thought about it. You're in the middle of it. You got the mixing bowl out. You got the measuring cups. You got everything going, and maybe you got the big thing that holds the sugar, and you reach in there, and you open the lid, and you're like, there isn't any sugar in here. Somebody whose salvation is in question has left this empty. You know what I mean? They didn't fill it back up, and now you don't have that ingredient. There's nothing more frustrating. You go cooking, and you're missing an ingredient. Maybe you're preparing dinner. You're all ready to do it, and you find yourself missing some key ingredient that you need to make that recipe work. For me, I'm not that elaborate in my cooking. But I will tell you where this manifests in my life. There are a few moments that happen every year where I go in and I get my favorite snack. Who many of you guys have your favorite snack? Come on. My favorite snack is a bowl of cereal. I love cereal. Cereal is really a universal food that can be eaten at any time. It can be eaten early in the morning when your children got up way too early, or late at night when you're watching your favorite show, or in the middle of the day for a nice little crossover snack between lunch and dinner. So sometimes I go in there and I get my bowl, my cereal bowl. How many of you have a special cereal bowl? You know what I'm talking about? It needs to be big. Cereal is not meant to eat in small quantities, all right? You need a lot of cereal. And then you get over there and then you pour out some of y'all probably get healthy, but for me, my Frosted Flakes, because the more sugar, the better. And I pour my Frosted Flakes, I get my spoon, I'm ready, and you go to the refrigerator and you open it up, and somebody who is definitely not saved, salvation is not even in question, has drank the last bit of milk. You ever been standing there with the bowl, you got the cereal, you got the spoon, you've got everything, and there's no milk? What do you do? How many of you just throw the cereal away? Like, whatever. Anybody throw it away? You sick people, all right? No, you go back over there, and I can't eat it dry, so you just pour it back into the bag, and you wait till you get more milk, right? So what do you do when you're missing an ingredient? You either got to run to the store. Lately, it's been way too cold for that, right? Or you substitute an ingredient. How many have ever substituted an ingredient in a recipe? How many have ever been sitting at the table trying to figure, wondering if anybody else is going to notice that you've substituted that, and you know it doesn't taste the way it's supposed to? Come on. You're like, it won't make a difference. And then you try it. Y'all are laughing because you know. You try it and you're like, this is terrible. Let me tell you, people, there's a reason why they put certain ingredients in the recipe and why they didn't put what you just put in there. All right? All right? Maybe you run to the store. Maybe you substitute an ingredient. Maybe you just change the whole meal plan. I mean, you're missing such a key ingredient. You're like, we can't do it. It's out. We're changing. We're doing something different. Or for some of us, maybe we just give up and hope someone else makes dinner. Every once in a while, I get a text from Kelly. This might be a good night for you to pick up dinner. The central truth today is that Jesus is the designer, creator, and he's the orchestrator. I even rhymed today, Pastor. He's the designer, creator, and orchestrator, and he never leaves us. Listen to this. In his recipe, he never leaves us with missing ingredients. We never find with Jesus that we get prepared for what he has for us to do and then get there and realize that we're missing ingredients that he didn't give us. God has already provided all the ingredients we need to live the blessed life he has for us. Let me say it again. God has already provided all the ingredients that we need to live the blessed life that he has for us. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, here's what it says. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, is what verse 6 says, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you. How many of you know that God has began a good work in you? And in this passage, Paul is writing a letter to the church of Philippi, and he is encouraging in them what they're doing for the gospel. But today I want to twist your thought just a little bit today, and I want you to realize that God began the good work. When this idea, the recipe for your success, that it did not actually begin at your salvation. It began even before that. The recipe for your success happened on the cross. It began at the moment the plan of redemption was set in place. He knew you. Listen to this. The scripture says he knew you before you were in the womb. He thought of you while he was on the cross. Each and every one of you, God began a good work. And yes, we've got to receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior for that work to continue. But he began it at the cross. He said, I'm going to set in place, in motion, the plan of redemption. So here's the deal. You need to understand that we were on God's radar long before we ever took a breath. We get this misconception that, oh, okay, God, okay, I'm ready. So, okay, can you begin to work in me? Hey, God, okay. So now that I understand, is this when you start working on the plan for me? What you need to understand is that God began to work on the recipe for your success long before you ever even took a breath. God started mixing up this recipe for our blessed life much sooner than we sometimes realize. And the great part is he didn't forget any ingredients. How do we know this? Because what the rest of verse 6 says, it says, he that began a good work in you, it says, he will carry it on to completion. You know what you can't complete is a recipe unless you have all the ingredients. You can't complete the recipe unless you have all the ingredients. I heard a song on the radio this weekend, and when I first heard it, I thought to myself, okay. It said, here's what the song says. It says, if I'm not dead, then he's not done with me. Here we go. If I'm not dead, then he's not done with me. Here's what the scripture says, that he's going to complete the work in us until the day of Christ Jesus, whether it be the rapture, whether it be the last time we take a breath. If we're not dead, God's not done with us. He's still working that recipe of success and blessed life into us. And he's doing it without any missing ingredients. So sickness isn't the finish line because he put healing as an ingredient in his blessing. Sin isn't the finish line because he put forgiveness in the recipe of our life. Sorrow isn't the finish line because that's taken care of by the joy that he mixes in. Anger isn't the end of the recipe or the destruction of the recipe because he placed peace in there. Hate can't stop it because he took care of that with love. Worry and anxiety can't stop it because he added patience in there. God placed and created the most complete recipe for success in our life that could ever have been created. God has already provided all the ingredients we need. Anything we face, He's already placed something in the recipe to take care of it. Are any of you, or do you know anybody, who are people who don't trust recipes? Anybody know anybody like that? You know what I mean? They get the recipe out, but they do things like that. They're like, oh, that is way too much flour. That is not going to work out. They've never made the recipe in their life, but they're reading it and they're going, no, that there's no way it needs that much flour. That is not enough sugar. That's got to have more sugar in it. That would be me. That'd be me, right? Any of you kind of some distrusting recipe readers? Any of you like, yeah, you're like, no, that needs to be tweaked a little bit. I don't think they have that quite right. Maybe it's, that's going to burn if we cook it that long. When I make those little cookies, you know, I make cookies or whatever, just from the packet, and you mix it all up. It says, 15 minutes. How many of you set your timer for, 12? At 12, I'm going to go check. We'll see, right? And then you go, and then you're like, I'll give it another minute, you know? And then you're like, 13, right? Because we don't trust. We're too worried. Listen to this very carefully, but when it comes to God sometimes, we're too worried about the recipe and not near enough worried about obedience. God's got the recipe down for our blessed life. God's got it all figured out. He's got the perfect recipe for our blessing in our life. And we need to quit worrying so much about, God, what about this? Well, God, I need a little bit more time. God, I don't know. I mean, don't you think that should happen a little quicker? God, what about this? Well, God, you missed this part of the recipe. We need to quit worrying so much about the recipe and get more worried about the obedience to what He's asked us to do. Well, God, I'll check back with you at 12 minutes. I'll check back with you at 13 minutes. Here's what I would tell you today is that God is not preparing the blessing for us. Listen. God is not preparing the blessing for us. The blessing's already been prepared. The blessing happened on the cross. The blessing happened. God didn't just all of a sudden go, oh, Rindy, yes, I forgot about Rindy. Let me work something up for her. Before he ever took a breath, he had already began. He already prepared the blessing. God's not preparing the blessing for us. He's preparing us for the blessing. The blessing's already happened. The recipe's already been mixed up. It's already sitting there. The recipe's not the issue. The obedience and preparing us to handle the recipe is what really is happening here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath what? Prepared, not he did, he's going to prepare, hath prepared, he's already prepared for them that love him. God's got a recipe prepared for you that you would be successful if you'll just allow him to prepare you for the blessing. And so I want to look this morning at four mistakes we make with the recipe. And I'm going to tell you something, I was a little sneaky today. I already gave them to you earlier. I already gave you the four mistakes. Mistake number one, we run to the store. We run to the store. Remember I talked about the things we do when we're missing ingredients? Mistake number one is that we run to the store. Have you ever been so determined to make a recipe work that you were willing to run wherever you had to get what you needed? You're going to ask that neighbor you haven't talked to in 3 weeks or 6 years or whatever. You've never even met them. Hey, by the way, I know we've lived next door to each other for 4 years. Could I get some sugar? Could I borrow some saran wrap? Could I, whatever it may be? Could I? Or maybe you're like, you go from store to store. The other day, Randy Brown had me looking at the Walmart for white chicken chili mix. We couldn't find it, could we? That thing, it's elusive. It's elusive. It's the key ingredient, right? Sometimes you find yourself going bending over backwards trying to make this recipe work. When we were doing the fast at the beginning of the year, You know, I did the Daniel fast, and you guys know how much I love vegetables. Love them. And so I'm, you know, when you're doing a fast and you have a restriction of what you can eat, you really start zeroing in on the things you really like. And so one of the things that we could eat was pinto beans. How many like pinto beans? How many of you say, I'll pass? All right. Well, you're missing out. You're missing out. All right. So I love pinto beans, but here's the problem. On the Daniel fast, you don't get to have any pork. You don't get any ham in there. You don't get it. You don't even get beef broth. I'll never forget. Kelly goes, well, we can use vegetable broth. What? What is vegetable broth? That sounds terrible. That sounds really bad. But you got to have some kind of, you know, otherwise you just have scorched beans, right? So you got to have some kind of, you know, water, liquid, something. Okay, so anyway, so she's putting that in there. But we had this stuff called pinto bean seasoning. Now, you can use seasonings. And so they can't have sugar, but you can have seasonings in there. So I was like, okay. And so this was the saving grace of these pinto beans, was this pinto bean seasoning. And I asked Kelly to make them quite often. I'm like, yeah, I think she'd make them one day and I'd eat them for like 3 days, like pinto bean. Pastor no longer wanted to be with me at the office, but that was a whole different story of this thing. So, but there came a moment about a week or so in, we ran out of pinto bean seasoning. Oh, you're right, Benjamin. Oh, no, that's correct. And I could not find this stuff anywhere. I went to Super C. I went to Walmart. I went everywhere. So I eventually went online. I'm not going to give free advertisement online to these people. But I ordered from somebody online. Starts with an A. And I bought a large bulk thing. I'm set for next year's fast. Okay, pinto bean seasoning. I can make pinto beans for all of us and First Baptist. So, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. That pinto bean seasoning, you're laughing, but that pinto bean seasoning, it was the key to the success of the recipe. Without that, no. See? Yeah. No. No. Check, please. Give me another banana, I guess. Whatever. If the recipe is messed up in your life, listen to me very carefully. If the recipe is messed up in your life, the first thing we need to do is make sure that we're not missing the key ingredient. John 14:6 says this. And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the key ingredient in the recipe of a blessed life. You can have all the rest of the stuff. You can be a good person. You can do all the right things, whatever. But if you're missing the relationship with Jesus, it will never work out. And here's the problem. People will run around everywhere trying to find something different and do something different or whatever. But let me tell you, the biggest mistake people make in trying to have the blessing of God in their life is they forget Jesus. Seems simple. So many people today running around from place to place trying to make their life whole. But if we could do it without Jesus, why did he have to die on the cross? If we could make our life whole without Jesus, then why did he have to die on the cross? We can't do it without Jesus. Without Jesus, we'd just be lost in our sin. We'd be sentenced to an eternity in hell. It's never going to work without Jesus. Second mistake is this. Second mistake is we substitute an ingredient. We substitute an ingredient. Have you ever found something in your house that was close to what the recipe was asking for and put it in? I saw Stephanie over there laughing, so apparently she must have substituted something. One time, Kelly made some gravy. She didn't do this on purpose, but she made some gravy, and we were... it was like a brown gravy, wasn't it, whatever. And we put it on our mashed potatoes, I think is what. Anyway, we put this gravy, and it was like immediately everybody was like, "What is wrong with this gravy? What has happened here?" We could not figure it out. It was so sweet. It was so. I don't even know how you describe it. Well, let me tell you something. It's really important not to substitute for flour, powdered sugar. Powdered sugar and some grease and stuff does not work the same as flour and that. You start substituting ingredients and you can really mess up a recipe. You can really mess it up. You know the biggest reason? You know the biggest reason people substitute things in their life, substitute things, ingredients in the recipe? The main reason is impatience. It's impatience. They say, we got to have this tonight, and so I'm going to make it whether I've got to switch this with this, or I don't have time to go get, I don't have time to do it right, so I'll just do it this way. They don't want to take the time to do it right. They just want to get it done, and usually it's a disaster. There's a story of that. There's a story of a person who was impatient. It's found in Luke chapter 15, and it's the parable of the prodigal son. He had a recipe for success. We know through the scripture in Luke chapter 15 that his family must have had some wealth, because we know that in his return, he talks about the servants. He talks about having fine clothes. They put a ring on his finger. They talk about sacrificing the animal for a feast to celebrate the return of the son. But here was the prodigal son's problem. It wasn't that he didn't have a recipe in his life for success. He was just impatient. It says that he knew he had an inheritance. He knew he had a blessed life. But he couldn't wait for all that was promised to him. He wanted it now. Scripture says he asked his father, let me just have my stuff now. Let me just have it now. And he squandered it all away. It says that he finds himself feeding the pigs and realizes that even the servants back home have it better than I do right now. You ever tried to substitute what God had for you for something else and it didn't work out the way it should have? We often substitute ingredients and take shortcuts in the plan that God has for us. But we cannot substitute for the timing of God's recipe and his plan. As important as the elements are of the recipe, so too is the importance of the timing of the recipe. There's a reason why, like the prodigal son, we move too soon and we just can't handle it. God may have laid something upon your heart to do, but he may not have prepared you yet to get it done. Do you understand what I'm saying? The first step is knowing what God has for you. The second step is knowing when he wants you to do it. Sometimes we start substituting things because we think, well, God, I know you'd like me. You've equipped me here and you've done this. And, well, I'll just get it done. I'll just go now. We end up in the pig pen going, well, God, what happened here? God is preparing us. He's preparing us for a blessing. And patience is part of that preparation. Psalm 37:23 says it this way: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I look at this and I think to myself, God orders our steps, but he also orders us sometimes just to stand still and wait. Man, I could preach on that for 20 minutes. I won't. But I could preach on that for 20 minutes just in my own personal life and ministry of times when, you know, if you haven't figured out yet, I'm a little high energy. I always want to go, 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 go. Sometimes I'm sure God's up in heaven just going, listen, wait, just wait, just wait. So maybe today God's saying to you, the recipe's there. I'm putting it together in your life. Everything's going good. We're lining it up. I'm preparing you. But the timing's not right just yet. Don't substitute. Don't substitute an ingredient. There may be a reason why that ingredient isn't in there yet. Okay? In a recipe, you put ingredients. You don't always throw them all together. Sometimes you put one and then the other, and then you got to wait a while before you put that other ingredient in. If God wants you to move forward, He'll give you all the ingredients to move forward. If you're missing one, don't substitute it. It's probably because it's not the time to get it done just yet. Number three is this. The third thing mistake we make is that we change the whole meal plan. We change the whole meal plan. Have you ever just changed the whole plan for dinner? You know, maybe you were gonna have tacos, but you know, all of a sudden you realize that's not gonna work out. Maybe you didn't feel like tacos, or maybe you didn't have taco shells or whatever, and so you have spaghetti. Sometimes, or a lot of times, Kelly will text me here at the office, and she'll say, "Hey, you know, we're gonna have dinner about 5. We're gonna have dinner at 5:30 or 6 or whatever time it's flowing in our schedule." And she'll say, "Hey," and she'll tell me, "I think we're gonna have tacos." And of course, I ask the really important question: beef or chicken? Because you got to prepare yourself, right? You got to prepare yourself. And so, right? Thank you. Elliot felt that. My son's feeling that with me. And on occasion, not very often, but every once in a while, I'll get home and we'll have spaghetti or something instead. Because what we planned to do didn't work out because something, you know, I thought we had beef. I thought we had chicken. I thought we're missing something. So we have to change the whole meal plan. And I'm sitting at the table thinking, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm sitting there. I'm not saying. Did you notice I said I'm thinking? I'm not saying. Husbands, listen to me. Thinking is safer than saying. All right? I'm sitting at the table and I'm thinking to myself, this is not at all what I had planned, prepared, and waited for. Like, I thought we were having tacos. Is anybody else prepare themselves? Like, I get excited. Thank you, Abigail. All right, so, like, I'm focused in. Like, you tell me we're having tacos. I'm like, okay. I'm going to get the hot sauce out. How many tacos am I going to have? You know, like, nobody else thinks like this? Okay. I have a food problem, people, and that's the issue, all right? But I'm sitting at the table, and I'm thinking to myself, I planned for tacos. I prepared myself. I'm ready for tacos. And I waited for it, and we're having spaghetti, and it's throwing my game off. It's throwing my game off. Sometimes we get so discouraged with our lives. This isn't what we planned for. This isn't what we prepared for. This isn't what I waited for. God, I thought you were going to do this. God, I thought you were going to do that. God, I thought you were going to bring our family back together. God, I thought you were going to fix my marriage. God, I thought you were going to fill in the blank. Sometimes we get so discouraged with what we think is going to happen that we just abandon the plan or recipe altogether. I thought living for Jesus would be easier. I didn't know it was going to be this hard. If only I had, and fill in the blank today, if only I had this, I could make this recipe work. God, if only I had just a little bit more money. Lord, if only I had a little bit better health. God, if only I had, fill in the blank, I can make this recipe work. These things begin to ruminate in our hearts if we're not careful, and then eventually we decide we're just going to change recipes altogether for our lives. And whether we realize it or not, people today are making this decision, unfortunately. They're saying to themselves subconsciously, maybe out, you know, verbally, but at least subconsciously, they're saying, I would like what God has prepared for me, but I'll settle for what the world has to offer to me. I'm going to say it again. I would like what God has prepared for me, but I'll settle for what the world has to offer me. If we're not careful, we'll look down one day at our plate and realize that we are no longer consuming the things of God, but instead filling ourselves up with the things of man. We'll have abandoned the recipe altogether. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." I love this verse. I'm going to repeat it again. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So the wisest man, the wisest person that's ever lived is still more foolish than God would ever dream of being. And the strongest man that's ever lived, strongest woman that's ever lived, would be weaker than God would ever dream of being. What I'm trying to tell you is the world is an inferior recipe and it will fail every time. Come on. Are you with me today? Are you with me? We cannot afford to change the meal plan. If you're going for tacos, spaghetti, you can risk it. But we cannot afford to change the meal plan from what God has prepared for us as a blessed life and what the world is trying to offer us to be blessed. No matter how hard life gets, we must be steadfast in consuming the plan and the recipe of God. Don't let anything stand in the way. Don't let anything stand in the way. Discouragement, anxiety, fear, anger, frustration, loss. Don't let any of that stand in the way. God's prepared for you a blessing. God has prepared for us a life of blessing. He just wants us to be prepared to receive it. If we want our lives to be healthy and blessed, we must place inside of it all that God has for us. And this is the last mistake. It's the last mistake. First we run to the store, then we miss some ingredients, then we just change the whole meal plan. The last one is this, that we give up and hope someone else makes dinner. We give up and hope someone else makes dinner. I mean, as I talked about before, have you ever just gone in to make dinner? Maybe you were so tired, you just didn't want to mess with it. You hoped your spouse would bring something home. Ever been there? Or you lived in that dream world, moms, where you think, maybe if I leave the kitchen, my children and their divine wisdom and inspiration will come in here and prepare dinner for us all. Has that ever happened? Has that ever happened? My son Braylon keeps promising us he's going to cook for us. I'm not going to hold my breath because I do not want to suffocate. So, you know what I'm talking about, though, when you just want somebody else to make dinner. You know, you don't care if they bring it home. You don't care if they make sandwiches. You don't care if they starve, as long as you don't have to make dinner. You ever been there? Come on, confession's good for the soul. All right, there we go. I've never been there. I've just raised my hand to support you, okay? Lord knows you do not want me to cook. I understand the idea that long days happen. You work all day, you're busy all day, things happen, you're working for your family, you're doing these things, you come home, the last thing you want to do is make dinner. Some days you just don't want to cook. You don't want to cook. And that ad pops across Facebook that says, enchiladas from Ted's. And you'll never convince me that that is not a sign from the Lord. The Lord has spoken, and we must be obedient to his calling. Okay. I love Ted's. All right. I understand, though, there's days when that happens. In living for God and pursuing the blessed life that he has for us, some days are just tiring. I'm not going to kid with you or joke with you and pretend even for a moment, Kim Romero, that every day living for Jesus is just Skittles and rainbows. Not every day. There are hard days. There are days when it's just tiring. There are days when there seems a lot more clouds than there does sunshine. There seems a lot more days. There's days when you're like, is it ever going to stop raining? There are days. Let me make it more relational here that you can relate to recently. There are days when you think, is that pipe ever going to thaw out? Am I ever going to get water again? Are they really going to do a rolling blackout? Because I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep the peace of God that Pastor tells us we're supposed to. I'm going to have to call them and tell them what I think about that rolling blackout. There are days when work is a disaster. There are days when the house is just a mess and you think it's going to take a miracle the size of the Red Sea to get it back. There are days when family is just dysfunctional. How many of you have some relatives you just go, I don't think they're ever going to get it? All right, come on. If you didn't raise your hand, you're that relative. Okay, so some days work's a disaster. Some days house is a mess. Some days family is dysfunctional. Sometimes finances are just non-existent, and the stress level is past headache producing. You've taken some Aleve, that headache strength kind. Pastor keeps in his office when I get around too much. He's like, man, I got to take some of these. And they're not touching anything. Well, I want to encourage you then with the words of the Apostle Paul, found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, when it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it, but one thing that I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. When life gets tiring, when life gets to be a mess, when things seem to be insurmountable, I want you to remember the words of Apostle Paul. To strain, to press forward, to press forward. No matter how hard life gets, we can never, ever give up. We can never place our blessing in someone else's hands. Your salvation and the blessing God has for your life is your responsibility. You can't sit at home and go, you know what? I hope that Pastor Steve can just pray me through. Listen, we want to pray. I consider it a blessing, Pastor does too. Whenever you text us, you email us, you call us, and you say, hey, I'm going through this. Would you agree in prayer? And I write it down. I have it on my phone. I have a little notepad. And if I, you know, Stephanie, if you call and you say, hey, I'm going through something, then I say, I'm going to pray for you. I get off the phone. I put it on my little note. And I have a whole list. I have a whole list. And I just pray through your names. If you ask me to pray for you, I'm praying with you. But listen, I'm praying with you. You understand? We're praying together. Okay? Because I will get on the battle front with you and fight the battles with you, but you cannot lay down your gun and go home. You got to fight your own battle. You got to fight. Each of us have a responsibility to pursue to the end the recipe of blessing God has for us. It says that he would bring it to completion. This is the great thing about it. God is going to complete what he has for you, in you. He said he would do it if we'll just allow him to prepare us to finish the race the way he's called us to do. Don, if you're here, I'm going to ask you to come to the piano. I want to remind you what our opening verse said. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. God has been preparing for your success and your blessed life from the beginning. Long before you were in the womb, long before you took a breath, he knew you, he declared blessing on you, and he took the steps to make it happen by dying on the cross. And the key lies within all of us to allow him to prepare the recipe of the blessing and prepare us for it. So I tell you, it will never work if we try to do it under our own power and effort. The key is Jesus. The key is Jesus. It will never work if we allow our impatience to change the recipe. God's timing is perfect. It will never work if we substitute God's plan for man's ways. His wisdom is greater than man's wisdom. And it will never work if we give up when things get tough. We've got to allow him to complete the work he has in us and through us. How many of you are glad that God has prepared a recipe of success for each of us? That greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, as you gave me this message, Lord, you began to place people upon my mind, people who are struggling, who are going through difficult things. And Lord, I pray right now for each person in this place. I pray, Lord, that they would know that the blessing's already been prepared for them. That now you're doing the work inside of us to prepare us for that blessing. Lord, I pray that we would not try to do it in our own power. Lord, we would not try to do it in our own timing. That, Lord, we would not try to give up or to try to get someone else to do it. Lord, we would stand with one another and stand in faith, knowing what you've promised us in your word. So with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this place today and you say, you know what? I've been trying to do it on my own, and I just need to surrender to God. I need to allow Him to prepare me instead of me trying to figure out the recipe. He's already got that done. If that's you this morning, just right quick, would you raise your hand? Just say, I've been trying to do it on my own too much, and I need Jesus to do it. Come on. I see those hands. Maybe you're in this place this morning and timing's been the thing. You just become impatient. God's put some promises upon your heart. He's told you some things are going to happen. He's told you that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. And impatience is starting to creep in because you just want to see things begin to move. But maybe it's just not the time yet. If that's you today, you just say, you know, I'm getting a little impatient. I just need you to agree with me, Pastor Phil, that the Lord would give me and help me with patience in the recipe that He's cooking in my life. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? Say, I just need help with the patience. Amen. Amen. Today, if you're in this place, and you just, maybe you've gotten tired and you've realized you've looked down and you're no longer consuming the things of God. You're not looking to the Word. You're not looking to prayer. You're not looking to godly messages from godly leaders. You're not looking to the things that enhances what the Lord is wanting for you, but instead you're looking for the wisdom of man. You're looking for the encouragement or the approval of people, whatever, to bring you fulfillment and blessing in your life. If that's you today, if you say, you know what, I got to quit. I got to get more into God's word. I got to get more time in prayer. I need to hear God's voice. I mean, he's the author of the recipe of the blessing of life. If that's you today, would you simply raise your hand and say, you know what, I've got to quit substituting what the world has to offer for what God has already promised me. And lastly, maybe just say, you know what, I'm at the point where I really just like to give up. I'm at the point where I'm just about ready to stop fighting. Somebody else can do this. Well, that's a lie from the enemy, because each of us must work out our own salvation. Each of us must work out our own journey. We can join together, but we must take responsibility for the plan that God has for us. If that's you today, you say, I just need strength. I just need strength because I feel like I'm at close to giving up. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? I've seen hands for all four of those today. Lord, I pray that you have spoken to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you have encouraged us. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, have challenged us to remember that the blessing's already been, it's already been made. Now you're just preparing us for the blessing you've already created for us. I thank you, Lord, for those who are struggling today, that you're going to come alongside. I pray, Lord, that they would find others to come alongside them too. I thank you for being in this place. In Jesus' name, Amen. The worship team, I'm going to have you come sing for just a couple of moments. We've got some time. It's not near noon yet. Here's what I would challenge you, a couple of things. Number one, if you raise your hand today, I challenge you to share that with somebody. Somebody who can keep you accountable, who can pray alongside you, who can encourage you, who can work with you and walk through this with you. The other thing I challenge you is just these next few moments as they sing, let's just take 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes just to spend some time in prayer and say, God, I need you to work on these things in my life. I need you to give me more patience. Lord, I need you to give me more wisdom. Lord, I need you to give me more perseverance. Lord, I need you to give me fill in the blank. Whatever you're needing from God, He will give it to you today. I believe it. And so as they sing, the altars are open, your seats are open. Let's take the next 5 minutes and let's really give it to the Lord. Amen.
So faithful, so constant, so loving and so true, so powerful in all you do.
thing that we've been facing in this past year is not only the disruption of everything in life, we're just doing everything so differently, but one of the things that is that the isolation of people, the loneliness of people, thus creating depression, creating lots of emotional issues, has happened over this last year. I'm seeing it not just in teenagers, I'm seeing it in adults, spending a lot of time talking to people about feeling so alone. Maybe that's you today. But even if it's not you, I can guarantee you, you have friends, you have people you know, you have people a part of our church who are in that situation right now. So I want you to walk away with a challenge today, and that's this. I want you to begin to pray that the Lord would put some people upon your heart, at least one person this week that you haven't talked to on the phone. Maybe you haven't seen them. Maybe you thought, you know what, I haven't seen whoever. Send them a card. Give them a call. Acknowledge their. Give them a few minutes and just say, hey, how's things going? One of the things that I don't want you to lose in my message today is this, that although we all have a responsibility to what God has prepared for us, we also have a responsibility to do it together. You know what's more fun than cooking? Cooking with somebody else. Getting in the kitchen and working together and making something together. And that's what we're doing here at Noble Assembly. We're making something together. God's prepared for us such a wonderful life and a wonderful thing. And some people, I just felt like as I was at the altar, the Lord was saying to me, there's some people, even a part of our church and a part of our community, who they're all alone. We need to draw them in and let's do this together. So would you do that this week? Find somebody, at least one. You can do more than one. That'd be great. But at least one person that you haven't talked to, that you're thinking, if you can't think of somebody, allow the Lord. The Lord will put somebody on your heart and on your mind. And this week, let's make a difference in someone's life through a simple call, a simple card, a simple acknowledgement of who they are, that you know where they're at, and that you care about them. Lord, thank you for every person here. I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight in our evening service at 6. And I pray, Lord, that you would put people upon our hearts to love on, to join together with, and may we succeed together as you prepared the blessing. Now would you just prepare us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight.